We gather this morning on Easter Sunday to celebrate, remember, and to retell the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to set aside time at least once a year where we come together and celebrate and remember that Jesus came back to life. And so this morning we're going to talk about the resurrection. Our text this morning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're only going to be in the first 26 verses, and I'm not going to cover everything in those verses either. We're just going to try to be laser focused on the resurrection of Jesus. In our series this Easter, we've been talking about the difference that the resurrection makes. We've kind of been spending some time each week unpacking that the idea of the resurrection of Christ isn't just something that happened in the past, but it's something that has meaning for us still today, and it empowers us as we follow Jesus. And those of us who are believers of Jesus and followers of Christ and who accept the death and the life and the resurrection of Christ, there is great power available to us. And this morning, what I want us to see is that it empowers our faith. And in fact, our faith doesn't make any sense without the resurrection. So if you have a Bible, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, and stand as you're able for the reading of God's Word, and we're going to read these first 26 verses together. This is a regular habit because we believe in the power of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. He appeared to James and all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though I was not I, but the grace of God within me. Whether then it was I or they, so that we preach and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, to whom he did not raise, if it is true the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, so by a man has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each to his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then it is coming those who belong to Christ. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power, from this reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The grass withers and the flower fades. God's word stands forever. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have been raised from the dead. I pray that you will help us this morning as we approach and read and meditate and think about your word and think about your resurrection, that you will keep our hearts from becoming cold or our minds from becoming bored, that we'll be amazed again and again and again as we behold and we think about the resurrection of Jesus. We pray these things in the name of the risen Jesus. Amen. You see, if you're taking notes in your bulletin, our first point in there for you is that the resurrection of Jesus is a true historical fact. The resurrection of Jesus is a true historical fact. Our faith is founded on this idea that Jesus Christ truly came back to life. Looking into verse 1, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. He begins here by reminding the Corinthians and the church of the gospel. And we too need to be reminded of the gospel, not just on Easter, not just once a year, but every single day we have to be reminded of the story of the gospel because we forget it. And we aren't just supposed to receive the gospel and believe it once, but we are to stand in the gospel. And in verse 2, and we are saved by it if we hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So we are saved by this belief in Jesus and his resurrection. It is not just for new Christians. It's not just for baby Christians. It's not just for those who don't know Jesus yet. It is for all of us. Over and over and over. The gospel is not just the foundation of our faith. It is not just the foundation of Christianity. It is everything. Sometimes we think about it like, well, the gospel is the foundation of the house. But the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus is everything else in the house. It's the walls and the roof and the adornments, the decoration, the windows. It is everything. Our faith doesn't make sense without it. In verse 3, I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures. The most important part of the Bible is this belief in the resurrection of Jesus. That we believe that he died on the cross not as a martyr. He didn't just die on the cross as an example for us of what we should do to one another. He didn't just die on the cross as bad luck in a case of injustice and cruel authority. He died on the cross for our sins, dealing with our sins, taking our sins upon himself. And then in 4, he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He didn't just die on the cross, but they buried him in the ground. Oftentimes, we've talked about the creed some. We talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. You mentioned, notice in the creeds, they say he died and then he was buried. And the scriptures will talk about the burial of Jesus. And why do we do that? Isn't it enough to say he died? No, because we are trying to point out Jesus' death was not a fake out. He wasn't pretending to be dead. Okay, if you watch stories or read stories, there's always fake-out deaths, right? Where the character, it looks like they're dead and gone, but oh, wow, what a surprise. They came back. They weren't really dead. And so my rule always is with those stories, I don't believe anybody's dead until I see the body in the ground. Okay, once the body's in the ground and they cover it dirt and they move on, then I'm good. Then I know, okay, they're really dead this time. I'm not waiting for them to come back later. It doesn't always work, but it's a pretty good rule. 90% of the time that covers it. But this is part of our faith. We believe Jesus was buried in the tomb. Everyone knew he was dead. The Romans were experts at killing people, and they decided he was dead. But then he was raised and came back in 5. And he appeared to Cephas, just Peter, and to the 12, and to 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are alive and have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. This is not just Paul recounting, hey, let me know what Jesus did after his resurrection. He is giving a witness list. He is saying, this isn't just something that we hope in. This isn't a philosophical idea that Jesus was raised from the dead. He's saying, Peter saw Jesus alive. Go talk to Peter. Saying the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, they saw that Jesus would died and rose again. There were 500 men at his ascension. There was many more women who were there as well. They saw Jesus alive. Some of them have died, but right now you can go and find them. He's encouraging them. You can go talk to them. Go visit Jerusalem. Walk the streets. Just ask, hey, do you know anybody who saw Jesus when he was here? And there will be many who say, oh, yes, I do know someone. Let's go talk to him. The resurrection of Jesus is not a fairy story or a myth, a rumor or a hope. It is something that truly happened. And it was witnessed by hundreds. And we believe this. We just believe in the idea of Jesus. We believe in the reality that Jesus died and he rose again. And also in verse 8, he says, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Paul says he wasn't quite the right age to see Jesus and the circumstances of his life. He wasn't around Jerusalem when these happened, or he was too young. And yet, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So the story our children are back there learning right now. Paul isn't just recounting his conversion story. What he is saying is that I too am a witness, though a later one, to the resurrection of Jesus. That I saw him and I heard him. And Paul joins his voice in the great cloud of witnesses that are still there on earth to say, Jesus is risen. Here's part of the reality as well, though we are also untimely born like Paul, Jesus has appeared to us. He has not appeared to us in the way he appeared to Peter or to the women who got to see him in the tomb. He may not have appeared to us as he did to Thomas, who got to touch and to feel the body of Jesus and to see his wounds. He might not have appeared to us the way he did to Paul up in the heavens, who got to hear Jesus' voice and see him with his eyes. But Jesus does appear to us in his body, which is the body of Christ, his church. And we proclaim as a church and we preach the same exact thing that Paul and the disciples and the apostles and every Christian since the resurrection of Christ has. We proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, not as an idea, but as a fact. The central question of each Easter really is, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you don't know what to do with Jesus. Maybe you grew up in church, but you kind of walked away from it as you've gotten older. Maybe you never knew anything about Jesus growing up. You're just kind of here to check things out. Maybe there are parts about Christianity you want to evaluate, you want to think through, you want to debate and pierce, take apart. That's fine, but here's the thing you must wrestle with. Did Jesus come back to life or not? That is what you have to face. Oftentimes people will challenge me or they'll find out I'm a pastor, and so they always ask me their questions and say, well, do you really believe all that stuff? Do you really believe all those miracles? Do you really believe in such an oppressive God that would tell people what we can and can't do with their bodies? And they'll go on, they always have other things. My answer to everyone is always the same. I'll say, I actually believe something crazier. I believe that God came down, was born of a virgin, entered into a human body, was crucified on the cross for our sins, was buried in the grave, and then rose again miraculously on the third day. That's the craziest thing that I believe. Let's wrestle with that before we wrestle with then what he told us or what he taught. Because that's the most important thing. Or point number two, if you're taking notes, if the resurrection is not true, Christianity is meaningless. If the resurrection of Jesus is not true, Christianity is meaningless. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 14. Paul says this a few different times in this passage. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. It has become more and more fashionable in our modern age to see Christianity as just one of many options or a kind of belief. It's a buffet. You can come up to the buffet of Christianity and pick out the stuff that you like and ignore the stuff that you don't like. You're like Thomas Jefferson, the ultimate American, just cut out any verse in the Bible that you don't agree with and keep the ones you like. Pick and choose. Truth is relative. Believe whatever we want as long as it helps. If you don't want to believe Jesus was actually raised from the dead, good news, you don't have to. You can just keep the other stuff that he said that you like. What God's word says, if the gospel isn't true, all of this preaching and proclaiming and our faith is just a placebo. We are like people dying from a deadly disease who think instead of getting more treatment, we'll just eat salad and put some dirt in our coffee and that'll help. So when people and unbelievers come to me and they're encouraging sometimes, so I try to have relationships with people who don't know Jesus and I try to love them and to show them Christ, so they're usually be receptive and say things like, well, I can't really believe in all that stuff, but man, it's so nice that you do. It's just so encouraging and I'm glad there's people that believe good things out in the world and are loving. And what I want to say, I don't always say it, but that's actually not. It's a bad thing because if Jesus didn't actually come back to life, then all I'm doing is deceiving people. All I'm doing is lying. This is where some people who are anti-Christian and anti-Christianity are actually get something right. Because they're right in the sense that they're unwilling to say Jesus rose from the dead, and so they hate what we do. And they hate what we say, and they want to oppose us and stop us and persecute us. In some way, they understand better than those who think, well, Christianity's nice, even though I don't believe it. Because they understand, if Jesus isn't raised from the dead, our faith is meaningless. Brianna and I watched a show recently. It was about a woman who had cancer. It's kind of loosely based on a true story, but chemo and all the stuff that goes along with all the medical treatments scared her. And so she decided instead she was going to treat her cancer with just yoga and, juicing and good, any kind of weird alternative medicine she could find and positive thoughts. And so it seemed like it worked for a while, so then she, did what we all do and become a big influencer and try and spread her fame and wrote blogs and books and told other people to follow her path, and thousands of cancer patients followed her medical advice. But her cancer didn't actually go away. It just got worse and worse and worse until she died when it was too late. Imagine if we looked at a story like that and said, well, you know what? Who really cares? People can do what they want. It doesn't really matter if people tell others something that's not true. It just matters. Everybody just does what we feel is right and what makes us good and nice and kind and is positive. No, we'd all look at it and all, hey, this is horrible. This is sad. People have died because they've been misled. They've been told and offered their salvation somewhere that there's not. The problem isn't like, oh, she didn't listen to doctors or, you know, there's no problem seeking different medical alternatives. The problem is when you start promising life and salvation and then it only ends in death. People were promised deliverance and were only given over. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, if Jesus Christ was not crucified and then did not come back, we are just like that woman and much, much, much worse. Because everything that our Christian faith offers is not nice and sweet and wonderful. Instead, it should be viewed with hatred if it doesn't solve our biggest problem of sin and death. If Christ is not raised, our faith is futile. It makes us all waste our time before we die. Our faith rests on the resurrection of Jesus, and if it is not true, we are to be pitied of all people. 15, we're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, who he didn't raise. Saying if Jesus didn't really come back to life, all the apostles are liars. Don't trust them. And it doesn't just mean their testimony about Jesus. It doesn't even just mean the Gospels. This entire book, all of the scriptures, all of the Bible, we believe it was all ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. Every story points to Jesus. Everything written in it from the very beginning where God said, let there be light, to the very end, it is centered on Jesus Christ, on his life, his death, and his resurrection. So if Jesus isn't actually raised, then this whole book falls apart. Don't read this book thinking, oh, there's some nice poetry in here. Or all these stories are encouraging, makes me feel good when I do it. Or, well, you know, I'll read, there's some nice lessons in the Proverbs for practical living. If Christ is not raised, this book is a waste of paper and a waste of space. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If Christ is not raised, our faith is futile, there is no purpose and is meaningless. It doesn't offer anything to us in the world and doesn't offer anything after. There's been a move here recently, too, where people are beginning to be attracted to Christianity again. Not really to the Jesus of Christianity, but they're attracted to the culture of Christianity. They like some of the values of Christianity. They like the politics of Christianity. They want to latch on to some of the things because it sounds good, but they don't want the risen Jesus of Christianity. They might even be willing to do some Christian things. They don't really want to believe Jesus was actually raised from the dead. Paul says, that is a waste of time. God's word says, don't do that. Listen, I don't care if you like Christian stuff. I don't care if you like a lot of Christian values or if you think Christians are nice. I care if you believe that Jesus Christ was truly raised from the dead. It's not that other stuff isn't important, but you can get that other stuff wrong. It's okay. We can help you. We can figure it out. You cannot get this wrong. You cannot get the fact of Jesus' resurrection wrong and your faith be okay. Nothing else works without it. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, we are all still stuck in our sins. There is no hope. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, there is no hope for us to escape the brokenness, the stain, and the death that sins bring. We can't escape the death of our souls. We can't escape the death of our bodies. And verse 18 says, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then those that we love that are gone, even who are followers of Jesus, they're just dead. There's no heaven if Jesus is not raised from the dead. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, all those people that we love that have gone before us are just bone and dust in the ground. They aren't coming back. We won't see them again. If Jesus has not been raised, there is no hope for us. And that means our deaths will come and go. We will all perish and it will all be meaningless. Because the only hope in life and in death is the resurrection of Jesus who defeated death. Verse 19 is kind of the key section. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be most pitied. If Christianity is only helpful now and today, then it's foolish and it's dumb. And people should just feel bad for Christians. They shouldn't look that, oh, it's great, we're doing such good things, that's so nice, those Christians are so generous and giving and care for the poor. They should just look at us and feel bad for us. Because if Jesus is not truly raised from the dead, it's just a mediocre option among the world that gives you millions of other ones. I feel like I'm being clear. I don't know how much more clear I can be. That Christianity rests on the resurrection of Jesus. What I want you to just hear this morning, if you're on the fence, you don't know what to think about Jesus, you don't need to know what to think about Christianity, you need to spend all of your time wrestling with the resurrection of Christ. That's what you need to get figured out. I don't care any of your other conclusions that you come to if you're going to reject Jesus and you're going to reject his resurrection. I don't care what you're going to think about Christian sexual ethics if you're then going to go and deny the resurrection. I don't care what you're going to say about creation, whether it was 7 days or billions of years, or if God was a part of it or how he was, if you're then going to say Jesus was dead in the ground, it wasn't raised. If you're on the fence, if you're debating, spend all your time on the resurrection. It's the most important. And if you call yourself a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you also need to spend time in the resurrection, because I meet Christians, unfortunately, who will act like it's optional. Listen, if you deny the resurrection of Jesus, your faith is a waste of time. Okay, if you're a visitor, I'm usually not a very harsh preacher. I don't think that I am. This feels very harsh to me. Maybe it's mild to you. I don't know. I don't like to get up here and just pound and bang on the pulpit and tell everybody how they're wrong. That's not my conviction. I have convictions, but that's not my style of preaching or the way. I don't even think it's what the scriptures command us to do. But this scripture in this place today commands us, reminds us, and tells us you must believe in the resurrection of Jesus. It is not optional. It is foundational. Nothing else makes sense without it. So if you're here, you're a follower of Jesus, and you want to deny Jesus died on the cross and rose for our sins, what I want you to know is your faith is futile. Stop wasting your time. Stop calling yourself a Christian. You have an option. You can choose. Come to Jesus and believe it, or just walk away. But don't continue in deceiving yourself. I'd rather you just be honest about what your faith is. Our last point, and point number three, is because the resurrection of Christ is true, we can be resurrected. What we need to see here, too, is that the resurrection of Jesus, the true fact of his resurrection that our faith rests on, is a foretaste of our resurrection. It is an expectation of what we as followers of Jesus can experience. See in verse 20, but in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus has truly been raised from the dead. This is why we gather together on Easter Sunday to remember. So we rejoice, we remind, we retell ourselves the story that Jesus was raised from the dead. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, those of us who have put our faith and our trust and our belief in him can be raised from the dead too. There is hope and resurrection available to those who put their faith in Christ. And I love this phrase that he uses of the first fruits. What does that mean? It's the first fruit that you bring in from the harvest. If you had a fruit tree in your yard and you went out after the season and you picked the first apple off of the tree and you took a bite and it tasted great because now it's ripe and it's good and it's ready for harvest, that first bite would be the first fruits and a foretaste of what you have to experience from the rest of the harvest that's coming. Jesus is the first fruits. His resurrection is the first fruit. And because he was resurrected from the dead, all of those who have trusted in him and loved in him and put their faith in him, they will get to be resurrected and raised with Jesus just as he was. In 21, for by a man came death, and by a man has also come resurrection of the dead. It's a reminder, Jesus is the second Adam. That sin and death entered into our world because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They rejected God. They rebelled against him. And so because of Adam, death has come to all of us. Every man who is born will die. But Jesus is a much better Adam. Through that Adam, all men die. But through Jesus, all can live. In this resurrection, a new life is available to all of us in 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Again, every single human being dies. There are no exceptions. The question is not if, it is only a matter of when and time. But Jesus can make us alive again. And there is true life and faith and power in Jesus. Sin doesn't just cause death down the road either. Sin also causes death now in our souls. But what Jesus can come is he can come now and he makes us alive. He can make us a new creation and give us new life even now. One day he will bring us all the way back. In verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and at his coming those who belong to Christ. Natural question is going to be, when is this resurrection going to come? And we're celebrating because Jesus came. That was 2,000 years ago. We're still waiting for the last resurrection. Well, that Sunday was just the first fruit and the proof of our hope. We celebrate and gather, and we have to remind ourselves every year, Jesus was raised from the dead, fully and truly. And one day, when Jesus comes and Jesus returns again, then resurrection will come for the rest of us, for all of us who trust in him. Who can experience this resurrection? Tells us those who belong to Jesus. I've shared this before. Every night I ask my sons the same question. What is our only hope in life and in death? And they always respond that we are not our own, but belong to God. Our only hope is in belonging to God. But what can make us belong to God? It's not just signing a piece of paper. It's not walking down the aisle. Belonging to Jesus isn't something that we can do. It is something that God does for us. It is something that Jesus did. That's why he came down to earth, why he was born of the Virgin Mary, why he went to the cross to die for our sins to purchase us. And he came back from the grave and he defeated death and he offers salvation and he chooses to adopt us into his family. You can't make somebody else adopt you. They have to choose. And Jesus came and adopted us if we're willing to be his sons and daughters. He offers this life and this resurrection to any who would be his, to any sheep who would hear his voice and be willing to call him their shepherd. Question for you is, do you belong to Jesus? If you put your faith and your hope and your trust in Jesus alone, do you believe that you need Jesus, that you cannot belong to yourself? Or do this on your own? Do you understand and acknowledge you have a real and deep significant problem, and that problem is sin? The problem is you're broken. The guilt and the shame and the wrong that we carry, it's in the problems in the world, it's nothing that we can fix. We have to acknowledge our sin and our brokenness, our need, and acknowledge Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. And what we find when we do that is that Jesus has already forgiven us. He died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to pay the price for us. He died on the cross to demonstrate his love for us, to show us that if we would just come and admit that we need him, he will do and has done whatever it takes to save us. That we need to believe and acknowledge that we need him and come to him. How do we belong to Jesus? Well, you just stop trying to belong to yourself. It's not a monetary fee that you can pay. Jesus already paid it. We can come to him just like the man hanging on the cross next to him and said, Jesus, can I be with you in paradise? Who had the humility to ask and the understanding that he had absolutely nothing to offer Jesus. If you come to Jesus in faith, if you trust him, if you really believe that he died and he really did come back from the grave, eternal life is yours. And true faith, faith that is not just empowered by your own belief or your mental fortitude or your spiritual stamina, you can have faith that is powered by the true resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we have that kind of faith, then we belong to Jesus, and if we belong to Jesus, one day there is resurrection. Verse 24, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. It tells us the end of the story. None of us know the end of our stories are going to be here on earth, but I can tell you what the end of your story will be. I can tell you what the end of the story of the earth is going to be. Jesus will return, and he comes, and he brings the kingdom of God. Every other kingdom, every other flag, every other ruler, every other king will all pass away. And only Jesus and the kingdom of God will remain, and those who belong to him. And Jesus in 25 says, and he must reign till he's put every enemy under his feet. He will destroy all enemies, every sin and sickness and death and pain, every wicked ruler, every tyrant who abuses their power, every manipulator, every abuser, every single enemy will finally be crushed and kneel at the feet of Jesus. But in 26 is the last one. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy is death. The very last one. And oh, what a day that will be. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Sometimes we stand or we sing. It comes from the end of 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll quote and say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? But we know the sting of death because we feel it. And we see the victory of the grave. You just have to drive by it. No one's come back out of there yet. We can see the grave and know it's where we're going. We say it now in hope. We say it now in faith. And we should, and we can say it now in desperation, that one day death will be no more. It will be defeated, but it will be the last one. For now we have to wait. But Easter reminds us of the hope that death will be defeated. Death is not a friend that we greet at the end. It is an enemy. But one day it will be no more. The joy of Easter is that Jesus has already shown that he can beat death. And he's going to do it again. And he will beat it and defeat it so much that it will become a distant memory. When no more will die. The resurrection of Jesus is just the first fruits of the life to come. And so we should desire to belong to Jesus. Should long not just to see his empty tomb, but to see the empty tombs of all of those who have put their faith in him. This only comes, the resurrection only comes to those who belong to Jesus. Do you belong to Jesus? Seeing this morning, the resurrection of Jesus is a true historical fact. If it's not, our faith is a waste of time. It is meaningless. But if you accept it, you can receive eternal life and resurrection in the life to come. Beloved, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He is risen. He has defeated the grave. And all those who put their faith in him one day will rise again. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to take communion together. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that you have risen from the grave. We are at times scared to face death, even though we know, we trust, and we hope in you, but we know that you have already been there. You already died. You went into the ground and you came back out again, and you offer a chance for us not to stay in the ground, but to get to be with you forever. And to get to be with you forever in resurrection. Lord, I pray that you would help and encourage our faith. I pray that you would remind us and you would refresh us of the gospel of what you have done for us. That you would help strengthen us, that we can stand and we can remain and we can cling and we can hold to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are so many other things that distract us, that pull us aside, or that we get interested in, or that we want to chase, but nothing is more important than you and what you did for us. Lord, encourage and strengthen our faith. Help us to hold on to you. And encourage us and help us look forward to the resurrection and the life to come. We pray these things in the name of the Jesus who defeated death. Amen.
So our benediction, a blessing for you as we go in 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. Go in peace.